As morning broke through the bedroom window, the sun shimmered down on the couple who lie curled up in bed together. Rovash woke to the clatter of steel-shod horse hooves trotting in through the gate outside. "I have to go," Rovash mumbled. The call to duty made him open one eye. He felt his insides hum at Nolan's touch. He did not want to leave. He rubbed his hand over her curly hair and across her skin as far as he could reach in one luxurious, full-length body hug. "Amelamine," Nolan whispered as she lovingly kissed him. Rovash knew she'd just called him her beloved. Her voice set off electric tingles drifting lazily through all his senses. Rovash smiled at her with a softness he'd never shared with anyone before. Nolan watched through sleepy eyes as he made the effort to pull himself up and sit on the edge of the bed. It was the commander's duty, after all, to attend to the business outside. Rovash vigorously rubbed his face with his hands, trying to refocus. He had never before noticed how the room seemed so bright and cheery with the sun beaming in. He took a deep breath, fighting the urge to roll back into the bed. Rovash looked for his clothing. Everything was spewed about the room on the floor, so he grabbed a clean pair of trousers out of the wardrobe. This was all taking too long, and Rovash, the commander, was loath to make someone wait for him in the courtyard. He quickly headed out the doorway, only to find his brother and Fiona had arrived back from their long journey. "Hail," Ro greeted the couple with his big voice. He felt relieved it was only them as he noticed himself only half-dressed. He nodded at Fiona, and she nodded back without a word as she dismounted her horse. "Ro, we have some unfortunate news. Master Fargal has died," Ejlum said soberly. "Oh, Fiona, what can I say?" Ro frowned. Fiona was busy unbridling her horse, trying not to make eye contact. She didn't want to start crying again. "I am filled with sorrow at the news." Although shocked, Rovash felt his insides sparkling with some crazy giddiness. He tried to shake it off, to at least seem somewhat in control of himself. "How is this possible?" he whispered to Ejlum. "Do wizards truly die? Come, please, tell me what you have found out." Rovash motioned towards the office, his usually empty, desolate office. Then he remembered Nolan was in his bed, and his skin blushed as he moaned in exasperation. With his eyes squinted shut, Rovash pinched the bridge of his nose, wondering how to handle the situation and knowing perfectly well these two would never let him live this down. E.J. had seen his brother act like this before when he was under some kind of pressure and immediately seized upon the opportunity. "What is our great commander doing with only half his clothes intact?" EJ sniffed the air as he circled around Rovash all too close. He was grinning like a cat ready to pounce. "Are you in some kind of hurry?" EJ pointedly asked. "Oh, lords, take me," Ro mumbled under his breath. "Nolan and I have broken the language barrier, sort of." The blaze on his skin turned hot. "No privacy, not even for you, Commander." Fiona's eyes burned into Rovash, having just witnessed his confession concerning her kin. Welcome to Tales of Eldalorn. This is Carly Bonn. I can't stop smiling as we step into Chapter 31, Common Tongue. EJ and Fiona pushed Roe forward into his office. Nolan was there, quietly getting dressed. "You cut your hair," Fiona said, barging into the private bedroom. Ejlam and Rovash moved over to the desk, talking to one another in hushed voices. "Yes, it was not my hair as it should be. I hope you do not mind. I borrowed some of your clothes." Nolan apologized. "No, I should have thought of that before I left," Fiona said, slightly flustered. "We were all a bit off back then, I think." Fiona had a hard time stifling a grin as she looked around and saw all the clothes on the floor. "Please, use whatever you need." "Thank you," Nolan said. "And my hair will grow out nicely now," she smiled. "I cannot wait to practice braiding it," Fiona smiled back politely. "I know how this looks, Fiona," Nolan said. "I have known Rovash for a long time. I made a promise to never forget him." Nolan glanced over at Rovash. He was startled in what he thought was an accusatory look as she pointed at him. "What does she say?" EJ said from across the room, because his brother stood paralyzed and unable to speak. Nolan looked at the two together as if seeing them for the first time. "You were just a tiny elfling when I saw you last," Nolan said to Ejlam. No one understood her. They focused on Fiona for her full interpretation of Nolan's words. "Fiona," Nolan anxiously grabbed her sleeve and attention. "We wish to be together. At least, I believe he wishes for me to stay." She seemed suddenly confused or unsure about the outcome of this clan meeting. Rovash's insides were burning, and he could barely breathe. After some thought and some very serious facial expressions, Fiona spoke. "Nolan says our Rovash is really good in bed, and she wants to keep him." Ejlam feigned shock at his brother, who seriously looked like he might just die on the spot. "Can you please, please, Fiona, I beg of you, with all that is sacred among the lords themselves, tell Nolan I wish for her to stay with me always. By all my heart." Rovash spoke his betrothal to Nolan, his eyes imploring her to understand his true feelings. Nolan felt relief as she got the gist of the idea, but she waited for Fiona to tell her his exact words. Ejlam sat there with his feet propped up on the desk, flipping an apple in his hand. He was taking in the whole drama with a big, giant grin on his face. Fiona could see Rovash was suffering as he sat down in sudden weakness. After one long, agonizing moment of staring him down, she decided not to tease him anymore, so she conveyed their words more accurately. "Rovash pledges himself to you as well, Nolan, and wishes to know if you will stay with him and love always. He cares about you very much," Fiona said with all seriousness. Nolan's face melted into a sigh of relief. They had not done anything terribly wrong, after all. Their actions were only a crime against long-standing ancient elven custom. "Who am I to decide against your love?" Fiona sighed as she hugged her kin. "I wish only happiness for you both." With a sudden urgency, Nolan asked, "How do I say yes, Fiona?" Fiona told Nolan the correct words. She repeated them as she flew into Rose's waiting arms. The room was filled with tears and joy and happiness as the couple kissed to seal their vow. They gazed knowingly at each other, foreheads touching. Rovash's life would never be as neatly ordered as it once was, but he didn't care. We leave for a few weeks and we miss out on all the fun, EJ said with a teasing voice. Ejlum, please, Fiona tiredly brought him back to the purpose of their journey to Drustenlok. Tell Ro what we have learned from Papa. Fiona let out a long, sad breath as she motioned for Nalin to come help her outside. Fiona and Nalin found the horses methodically clearing the lush green grass that was growing under the shady side of the building. Nalin silently followed Fiona as she led the shorter one to the stables. After the chores were done, she and Fiona carried the heavy packs home. There is something I must show you. Papa said you would know what it is. Fiona handed Nalin the small worn swaddling cloth. I know it has the same stitching as you had on your clothes, so we knew you were somehow my kin on the island. What else is it? Nalin sat perched at the edge of the bed. She was stunned at what she held in her hands. This is my mother's apron. She was wearing it on the day of her death. Nalin looked up at Fiona oddly. You are my mother's unborn? What? Fiona was confused. You were born on the day of the goblin raid. Nalin looked uncomfortable as Fiona sat down in front of her on the bed. Was I? I knew I was young, but just born? Fiona still did not realize what Nalin was trying to say. You are my sister. Nalin glared oddly at Fiona, which quickly changed to a strange sigh of relief. I have a sister, they both said in unison. After a suspended moment of shock, the two hugged each other tightly. Fiona cried tears of happiness. There was more to the story to be told, but for now Nalin cried tears of relief. The two giggled in excitement with so many questions to be asked and be answered. But there was one burning question on the front of Fiona's mind. Now you have to tell me what it was like. Fiona raised one eyebrow expectantly. You know, with Rovash. Nalin's eyes grew wide as she shared her story of these past weeks with her newfound sister. Even Ejlum had to brush up on his use of the common tongue. He was fairly good at it, but Nalin was a quick study, and she surpassed him within days. Nalin was still not one to talk very much. She liked to just watch from a distance until there was something important to add to a conversation. Rovash soon discovered just how skilled Nalin was with her blades. She had some impressive aerial stealth techniques that even he had never witnessed before. Nalin could leap on top of a target, hitting it fast and hard, before an enemy could see her coming. You could demonstrate this technique to the men to see if they could master it, Ro said as he wiped the sweat off his brow. Humans are too slow and clumsy, was all that Nalin said, as she twirled her blades in her hands, sheathing them along her thighs in one motion. As time passed, the couple discovered they had both been involved in many conflicts throughout the Third Age. Nalin was in service of King Elendil as a young adult around the same time Rovash left Eldalorn. As the war against the Evil One drew closer, they may have even fought side by side, not realizing it. The couple were both battle-hardened and understood very well the real horror of fighting face-to-face with an enemy. The signal horn sounded at the gate, grabbing Ro and Nalin's attention. Dakin and his men had arrived from their initial scouting mission. The dragon they found was only a half-grown onyx drake. It lay motionless in the opening of its lair. Never have there been reports of a cave of any kind in that area. Rovash looked puzzled at the map Dakin laid on the table. Well, there is one now, Dakin smirked at Rovash. Is a dragon that size strong enough to burrow through solid rock? Ro wondered. He was answered with silence. Well, Dakin said, maybe that's why it was sleeping. Or it could have been just pretending to learn our intentions. Who knows? Dragons believe in domination, so even to a half-grown one we would seem like minor pestilence. Dakin continued his report. We did not engage the animal. There was no sign of movement or any controlling humans at its location. So talk of a cult seems unlikely. Then we should kill it quickly and be done with it, Ejlum said with a serious look on his face, as he wondered how mighty a half-grown dragon could be. Onyx denotes the animal's parentage, Dakin explained. It is from a line of royalty in dragon courts. It could even be their mighty king's offspring. Killing it could bring dragon fire down upon us all, Rovash said. Then we must proceed with caution. Yes, Dakin was glad they agreed. The tunnels go down further, he pointed out, ignoring EJ's disappointment. We had to turn back because we were too many for what needs to be a stealthy scouting mission. There is a need to see what is far below, Dakin firmly put forward. The direction suggests the path heads towards the old goblin kingdom, far under the mountain. I see your point, Dakin. Rovash leaned over the map and peered at the location of the new cave. He stared at the fresh ink marking and committed the location to his memory. Something is festering in those caverns, Rovash muttered to himself. Fiona and I will go, Ejlum volunteered. No, Ninhan. You and Fiona have not seen anything like the monstrosities that I have experienced. I will go, Rovash said with all seriousness. Nalin could come with me if she so wishes. She too knows the atrocities of war. If there is any sign of something growing in the darkness, she will see it. But I would not encourage her to come with me. You are too large a target, EJ cut him off in protest. I am battle-seasoned Edeleth, little brother. Do not fear for me. Rovash tried to assure him. EJ threw himself down in the nearest chair with a huff, while Rovash and Dakin made plans on how to make the descent into the darkness of the caverns. It stung him that his brother was the elder and had the right to put himself into such danger, leaving him home to worry. At their next training session, Rovash had to really concentrate on deflecting Nalan's attacks. Even though she had proven herself time and time again, she would not be left behind on the dragon scouting mission. Rovash thought Nalan's fighting style was likened to a swarm of bees. He felt assured that she would be able to take care of herself and that her sting would be deadly. Are you certain you want to do this? Rovash asked his Nalan one last time. He would have preferred that she stayed in the safety of the fort. You would be following me into what could be mortal danger. Together we are stronger. We can only do our best, was all Nalan said on the subject. Besides, you're too slow and clumsy, Nalan teased him. You need me. She shrugged innocently, and they both laughed. The accent in her voice was driving Rovash crazy, and Nalan knew it. Rovash gently ran his big hands down her shoulders, trying to ease some of the pain she may have felt from their intense workouts. Nalan grinned, seeing the look on his face as he gazed at her longingly. I think this practice has done well enough for us, yes? Do you think it be truth, my love? Nalan blinked her eyes sweetly. Rovash did not need to be convinced. He quickly swept her up in his arms, kissing her passionately. Nalan happily found herself being carried swiftly away to the cool shade of the riverbank for a private swim. Here we are at the end of episode 33. So far, our sojourn into Tales of Eldalorn has been full of rainbows and butterflies as you get to know our cast of characters and a bit of their backstory. Well, a lot of their backstory, actually. But let's talk about dragons. Just know that nothing is good when dragons are involved. Here's a quote from King Elendil himself on the subject of dragons. Let me get the voice right. "Know this, my friends. Above all, dragons are arrogant and hedonistic in their lusts for power and pleasure. They enthrall their prey into complacency with an enchantment that blinds all rational thought. Their cleverness can twist the truth to send even the strongest will into despair." So in other words, dragons are pretty nasty critters. But wait, it's not just a dragon. There might be more than we realize going on. Well, you'll just have to listen to the rest of the story to find out. And now we get to see what our friends are really capable of. If you're a first-time listener, I would encourage you to go back and find out about all that backstory and how our friends met. It's a very playful, fun part of the book. But here we go, down into the twisted, dark caverns beneath the mountains. This is Tales of Eldalorn, a dark fantasy Elfa novella by yours truly, Carly Bond. Galu, my friends, stay safe out there, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Elvish lesson of the day. Amelamine means my beloved. It's a term of endearment. It's like saying, truly, I would not live without you always at my side. Amelamine, my beloved.
When you're close to me, I'm feeling high when I'm low.